I'm Bruce Van Dyke, along with Craig Adams, with the Senator. The Indians are maybe having a run.
There's still a possibility, and Francisco Lindor better be Rookie of the Year if there's any justice. He's so fun to watch, and I don't know that he'll make us forget Omar, but in 10 years' time, you never know.
Yeah. He is making a run. Hey, listen, we wanted to ask, you know, it happens to be the day after the Republicans had their second debate. As a U.S. senator from the other party, is this something you pay attention to? Do you tune in? Do you watch? Do you have your staff watch? How do you do it?
You can tell by my response today that I spent 3 hours. My eyes are glossed. I watched the whole debate, all 3 hours. If I'd known it was going to be quite that long, I might have turned it off after two. I thought it was going to end, but I think the debate was too long. But I did watch the whole thing. Here's what troubles me. First of all, the candidates are very narrow. There's almost no ideological difference between them on much of any issue, which is troubling to me that there's not a more diverse Republican Party. I do care about race and gender, but more diverse in terms of ideas. But what disturbed me more was the questioners. I've watched both debates of the principal candidates, the Fox debate and then this one. And I wish one of the questioners would ask them about Obamacare. They've all campaigned against it for 5 years. It's unanimity in their party. Ask them the question, what happens, say, in Ohio, what happens to the 600,000 people that now have health insurance? What happens if you repeal it? What happens to the million Ohio seniors who have, with no copay and no deductible, gotten physicals, gotten screenings for osteoporosis and diabetes? What happens to the hundreds of thousands of Ohio families, or tens of thousands, that have had pre-existing conditions, have a child with diabetes or asthma, that have been denied coverage, that now have coverage of Obamacare? What happens to them? And I just wish a moderator would ask that question, because it is very important to this country that we have that debate, because they're going to campaign against Obamacare. Well, what are you going to do if you repeal it successfully? What are you going to do for these millions of people around the United States?
You know, you talk about the different candidates, so many of them up on stage last night, 11. The Democrats have fewer presidential candidates at the moment. There has been talk, maybe the vice president might get in there at some point. If you had a crystal ball, what do you think will happen?
Well, I don't think the vice president gets in. I think he's going through too difficult a time as he grieves his son still. But I think he would be too late to start. I think he won't do it, but surprises happen. I think that Senator Clinton will be the nominee, Secretary Clinton, and I think she will become the next president.
During last night's debate, there was a lot of talk about the Iran nuclear agreement. Certainly a lot of gloom and doom coming from the candidates last night. Where do you stand with that accord?
I supported it with enthusiasm as I learned more and more about it. I never put as much work into a foreign policy issue as I did in this, asking people questions and all, and meeting with ambassadors from all the relevant countries, Israel, France, Germany, Russia, China, England. Here's the issue in a nutshell, that if we walk away from this agreement, if we do what those 11 candidates want to do, tear up this agreement after it's signed, Iran will have a nuclear weapon within a year, certainly within 2 years, probably within 1 year. This agreement guarantees they won't have a nuclear weapon within 10 years, almost certainly won't within 15 years have a nuclear weapon, and if done right, will not have a nuclear weapon way far into the future beyond that. The same people that have pushed hardest against the nuclear agreement, or it's the same crowd that got us into the Iraq War, by doctoring evidence and not telling the truth a decade plus ago. And do we want those people in charge? The Iraq War has been the biggest foreign policy debacle since World War II, if not our nation's history. And we want to put those people back in charge and follow their advice? I don't think so.
It was mentioned last night, but even earlier in the day before the debate, there are reports out there, there are stories out there that you talk about things being doctored, that maybe there were reports being doctored up to the administration, putting a better spin on ISIS, that battle. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts, and this isn't to excuse anything now, I don't know enough yet to really give any thoughts on what might have happened there. But I grew up at a time, I was born in the 50s, and I remember President Johnson and then President Nixon not telling the country the truth about what was happening in Vietnam. I watched President Bush not tell us the truth about Iraq. And now I don't know what to think about this. I'm concerned. I want to make sure that the military and the administration are honest with Congress and honest with the American public, most importantly. Too early to tell for me what might have happened here, what might be true. I've seen too much of it in presidents of both parties over the last, well, over my whole lifetime, really.
I'm looking at some of the things that you've been working on lately and being on the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. You've got an outline of legislation to improve programs for homeless veterans and their families. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the government's made a commitment. The VA's made a commitment 3-4 years ago that we would end homelessness by the end of among veterans by the end of this year. We have cut. This is a case where the VA's done it right. The federal government's done it right. Local communities have done it right. We've reduced veterans' homelessness significantly, almost in half. We've still got lots of work to do. I assume we can never 100% eliminate it. But we in this country, and Congress especially, doesn't take into account the cost of war. And when we went to war in Iran or Iraq, which was so much the bad, that's why I voted against it, so much the bad decision, went to war in Iraq, the administration in those days, the Bush administration and Congress, said this war will end quickly, so we didn't scale up the VA to prepare for all the head injuries and all the traumatic injuries and all the loss of limb and all the illnesses that come out of this basically 10-year war. And Congress and the president in that era should be ashamed of themselves, but that's past now. We've got to move forward. We see higher rates of veteran suicide than the general population, higher rates of depression, higher rates, of course, of PTSD among veterans, higher rates of homelessness. And these are the people that served us, and we should be ashamed that we're more willing to vote money for defense than we're for weapons than we are taking care of these men and women when they come back to Elyria or come back to Vermilion or Grafton or Lorain or wherever they're coming back to.
We're talking this morning with Senator Sherrod Brown. You're also introducing a bill that's called, sort of phrased, ban the box, about related to people with prior convictions, applications on contractors. Tell me about that and how that come about.
Yeah, there's a growing bipartisan interest among members of Congress and among businesses and companies about this whole ban the box. If you've served your time, you committed a crime, you served your time, if you have to check this box saying you committed a crime, even though you've served your time, do you ever get an opportunity to get hired again? And I've been pleased to see a number of people in both parties step up and say, if we're ever going to fix these problems, these people, if we keep that box to check, they'll be back in prison again. They'll commit another violent crime or another crime and go back to prison. And people need a second chance. And I'm pleased that a lot of my colleagues are on board with this. A lot of businesses are saying they're going to. Our bill simply says that we should, in federal contracts, we should ban this box, if you will.
So take it out of the initial sort of screening, and it'll be something that would obviously be discovered later, or you could make the decisions. But that way you don't want to give a first bad impression, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I mean, for certain crimes, I mean, if they want to be a teacher and they've had sex crimes against children, obviously that's a different story. There will be exceptions, but we need to do this right. And I the bill I'm working on, we have two of the most conservative Republicans in the Senate, Senator from Wisconsin, Senator from Iowa, on board with a more liberal member of the Senate from New Jersey, a Democrat from New Jersey. So we're I'm pleased with how this is going bipartisanly and with a lot of business support.
Senator Sherrod Brown, our guest this morning, thanks for spending a bit of your morning. I know it's a busy time for you. We appreciate your time this morning.
And so, for you, too. Thanks, Greg. We'll do it again. See ya.